talking about how to find freedom in enjoyment. Sometimes that can be difficult for some of us, and the question can be, is there room in the Christian life for enjoyment? Because there are some people who would call themselves Christians, but they fear that if they enjoy life too much, they must not be doing it right. If I'm supposed to be all about Him, is there any room for me time? I think that's how some people can struggle. And I've told you before, I like me time. I remember after my wife and I had first gotten married, before we were married, it was very often that I would get up and I would go and just play basketball down at the student rec center anytime I wanted. And I don't remember exactly how long it was after we got married, but I put on my basketball clothes and I began walking out. And Nikki said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to go play basketball." She's like, "Well, you didn't say anything to me about it." And I was like, "Well, I never had to before we got married. I don't understand what the issue is here." And I realized that we were having a conflict because I wanted some me time, she wanted some us time, and I hadn't really given thought to the us time, you know? I thought, you know, we're married now and everything's good, right? Well, you have to realize that there are times we have to devote to relationships. And you must devote time to your relationship with God. I hope that before you came in today, you devoted time in your relationship to God. But I hope that you also learn and realize it's okay to take time for yourself once you've put those relationships where they need to be. I think sometimes we fear whether or not I can have that relationship. We fear whether or not we can be comfortable in that relationship. Can I really do what God has called me to do? Will you go and advance that next one? I appreciate it. This morning, the big question for us is this: are you treating yourself or are you beating yourself? Because I think we can all realize that sometimes it's easier to beat ourselves up than it is to find some treatment. We're going to take a look. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. I think you'll see what we mean from God's word. Very simply, it says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Now, I tell you what, there's some people God really wants to talk to about this, because in fact, I heard this was the Sunday school lesson today for the youth. So I guess, youth, you've been struggling with joy. That's why God put this together. But this morning, for all of us, we have an opportunity to realize that life is about choices. And one of those choices is a joyful heart. We know that life is about choices. When you're a Cardinals pitcher, perhaps, don't pitch to Schwarber. That's a choice that we could make. If you're a Cubs pitcher, don't pitch to, you know, anyone on the Mets. You know, you just have these things we think about, okay? Life is all about choices. And the Bible here is telling us that a joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart, ladies and gentlemen, is a choice. I love watching the show Deadliest Catch. I don't know if you've watched that show much. It shows a bunch of people fishing up in the Arctic Circle, and they're trying to catch all these crab, and it just looks miserable. I mean, they're out there on this ship. Sometimes the ship is completely covered in ice. They have to break the ice off just so the thing doesn't sink. And you'll watch these guys. They're out there, and they're cold, and they're wet, and some of them are just grumps. I mean, they're just like, "I hate this." Now, the reason they do it is because you can be on that boat for 4 to 6 weeks and make $30,000. Sometimes $50,000, depending on what kind of boat you're on. But after a while, when you're getting sprayed by cold Arctic ocean water, you're not thinking about that. There's one boat called the Time Bandit, and there's a guy that was on there for a long time named Mike. And the reason I loved Mike is it didn't matter what was going on, he was always smiling. I mean, there's other guys in the exact same situation, and they're not smiling. You know what the difference is? I think Mike remembered that when the trip is over, there's a payoff at the end. Mike could remember there's a payoff at the end. For us as believers, do you know why sometimes we lose our joy? Because we've forgotten that there's a payoff at the end. We've forgotten that God has settled eternity for us, so why in the world are we allowing the temporary to steal our joy when God has given us the joy that when we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no less days. Eternity will go on for us to praise the name of Jesus. The Christian life remembers the payoff because we remember that we have eternity. Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." This wasn't in my message until Wednesday. I had a chance to go down with the youth and share Psalm 51, and this verse just came out at me, and I realized, boy, that really backs up what God is saying. You realize that the joy of your salvation is how you felt when you realized that God knew your sin and Jesus died for you anyway. Do you remember how you felt when you came to Jesus Christ? I'm 37 now. I was 12 then. I remember what the weather was like that night. I remember the person who shared Jesus with me that night. And I remember how I felt to know that that sin that had been crushing me, even as a 12-year-old boy, that sin was wiped away, that the stain was cleansed. That's why most people are a greater witness for Jesus those first couple of weeks after they become a Christian than years later. Because over the years, what happens to us? It kind of becomes the norm for us, doesn't it? I always think the great struggle as a pastor is Easter Sunday. Now, Easter Sunday is the pastor's Super Bowl. But you know, really the struggle is, how do I take this true story that everyone's heard time and again, and how do I make it fresh? You know what I've realized? I can't. You have to make that choice yourself. You've got to choose the joy that comes from knowing Jesus saved you. That's why Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a what? A willing spirit." I have to make the choice. So in order for me to be medicated by the joy of my heart, I have to choose joy. And I can choose joy, is what the Bible is saying. A heart of joy is a choice, even when the medical diagnosis is bad. A heart of joy is a choice even when your family relationships are strained. A heart of joy is a choice even when the job feels like a J-O-B job. You have to stop blaming the circumstance and you have to blame yourself. It's not the job, it's not the person. What have you chosen? Why are you struggling in joy? Your heart affects your spirit. That's what the Bible's saying. Look again at verse 22:17 says, "The wicked accept," a joyful heart. Let's be on the right verse together. Let's start that again. Proverbs 17, verse 22. "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." You see, it's tying them together. Your heart, the physical part of you, affects your spirit, the eternal part of you. And that seems odd. It seems odd that those two things could affect one another, but the Bible's indicating that they do. And so when you don't have a joyful heart, you will have a struggle when it comes to remembering eternal things. Remembering the joy of your salvation. Remembering that God has given you more than you could ever give yourself. Proverbs 15:13 says, "By sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed." That's exactly what it's saying here in Proverbs 17 as well. The warning is this: don't allow the temporary part of you, the heart, to crush the eternal part of you, the spirit. What is your spirit? Your spirit is the part of you that is really you. Yesterday, we did a funeral for Lee's brother. And his brother, Red, was a person who knew Christ and had a testimony of that. Do you know what comes into my mind when I'm at a funeral? I oftentimes look at that person, and it oftentimes strikes me how much different they look than they looked in life. And that's because that's not them. It's true when C.S. Lewis said, "You are not a person, you are a soul." You don't have a soul, you are a soul. Your personality is not your flesh and blood, it's that spirit. What I was telling my children one time is, when I go to heaven, my soul, my spirit goes there. I lose my sin nature, but I'm still going to be just as goofy as I am now. And I'm so sorry for you kids. I'm going to be just like this in heaven. But the Bible's saying that your spirit is who you really are. That's why when you go to heaven, you don't cease to be that person. Being separated from your body does not cease to make you a person. You are a person by your spirit. That's who you really are. And the Bible says that your heart, that flesh and blood part of you, can crush the eternal part of you. So the question becomes, the question I must ask is, what is the temporary pain, the temporary problem that is blocking my view of an eternal God? I would like for you to think about that for a moment. What is the temporary problem that is causing you to forget about eternity and to forget a capable, eternal God? We all have one. Just sometimes we don't like to think about it, do we? When you stop and think, here's what the problem is, you can realize what the solution might be. So many times people say, "I've got this problem." "What's your problem?" "I don't really know." Well, maybe you should stop and think about it. Maybe you should ask the question. There is a prescription, according to Proverbs 17, for these times in your life. That prescription, that medicine, is joy. It says, a joyful heart is good medicine. What does medicine do? Medicine heals. Medicine treats. Sometimes medicine just allows you to function. Just because you choose joy doesn't mean that the circumstance that made it hard goes away. It's usually still there. It's just you're looking at it differently. Instead of the guy who's on the deck of the crab ship who's being washed over with icy water and going, "Oh, this is the worst," you can be like the guy who says, "This is great. At the end of this, there's a payoff, and I'm waiting for the payoff." So when we look, we say, what is the medicine that heals us? And that's the question I asked this week. This week I said, what is your medicine? And so we put a poll up there. How do you unwind? How do you reset when times are really tough? And I gave a few choices. Some people may like reading, exercise or outdoor activities, watching TV and movies, playing games, or hanging out with family and friends. The runaway winner with 43% of the vote was watching TV and movies. Apparently, when we're struggling, we just like to go brainless if possible. And that's okay. Sometimes you need some brainless time. And really, when I look at that list, all of them I like. I mean, I can spend time doing pretty much all of those. And you just need to identify, is there something that brings you joy, that you enjoy doing, that doesn't hinder your relationship with God? Maybe you should do it more. Maybe you should take more time for that. I've realized in my own life, it doesn't matter how old you are, everyone needs some playtime, not just five-year-olds. Everyone needs some time to just play, to just relax. For me, for a while, that was, you know, as soon as I would come home, I would just throw on my running shoes and I'd just go running. That sounds like weird playtime, but for me, I loved it. I love just going out, and I don't do that now, but early in the mornings, I'll go. My son's been going with me to the gym early in the mornings, and that's fun for me. I'm weird, I guess. I enjoy doing that, getting up in the morning, but you need to find what it is for you. How can you unwind? Because some people I know are so Sure wasn't it, Lori? Okay, are we back? There we go. I'm guessing that you haven't heard me since point one, so I'm going to go back about 20 minutes. Thank you, Fred. You need to learn how to play. For me, you know, the reason that I decided to start getting healthier was because I want to play with my kids. That was important to me. I knew some ministers who were my age, and they couldn't get outside and even play basketball with their kids. That became important to me. I love being able to go out and throw the football around with my son. Some of you need to learn how to find a shared interest with your spouse. Stop letting her go do that and you go do this. I mean, sometimes you need that, but not every time. You need to find, what is that shared interest? What is that thing you all can enjoy together? Because that can be a great way to unwind. Or finding friends. I've got friends that are helpful to me that have shared interests. These are important. The important thing for you is this. This is what I really want you to think about. Because when it comes to, will you advance that? We have a battery problem today. Will you go and advance that slide for me? I appreciate it. This is what's most important for today. We must learn to find the joy in life and not just the next thing to do. Maybe some of us should read that three times. This week was a terrible week for me to write a sermon about joy and play because, I'll just be honest, I was pretty stressed out this week. I had a number of different things that came up, and that's life. All of us have this happen. So hear me. I'm not complaining, okay? I'm just giving you the reality. There was a lot of things I had to deal with this week. And then I would go back and say, well, I need to go back and work on my sermon. Oh, yeah, it's about joy. Great. And so this was my week. Is God kept saying, you know, you should really probably listen to this sermon you're going to preach on Sunday. And sometimes that happens to us. You know what was happening? I always make a to-do list when I come into the office. I'm thinking about not doing that anymore. Because I make this to-do list, and then I go through and I try to strike this off, I try to strike that off, I try to strike that off. You know what happens? For everything I strike off, I add three things. You don't want to see what my to-do list looks like, because I can't even read my handwriting. And I look and I'm like, well, I don't even know what that is, so I guess I'll just call it done. And so this is the struggle I have. You know what I'm realizing? I need to learn to find joy instead of just the next thing to do. Because when I'm just looking for the next thing to do, that leads to a joyless heart. That leads to a crushed spirit. That leads to your life being sucked right out of you. You've got to choose joy because it's good medicine. But the flip-flop of that is a joyless heart. An anxious heart is poison. I think about that movie. I'm just ready for Christmas. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Maybe some of you are not because we live in an area that gets really cold around Christmas time, but I am just dying to turn on some Christmas music. And I was thinking about this, about medicine, about poison. I thought about that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Remember Mr. Gower, when he's so distraught over his son dying, and instead of sending medicine to that family, he puts in poison instead. That has always stuck out to in my mind in that movie. But it's that reminder of how easily you can intend medicine, but you're just putting poison into yourself. You have an opportunity to choose joy or to choose anxiety. And so many times we choose anxiety. The Bible tells us that an anxious heart causes spiritual amnesia because you forget that there's a great big God out there because you've got this little tiny problem. And when I say you, I mean me and all of us together. Don't allow your worries to cause spiritual amnesia, that you forget who God is. That's why I journal. That's why I write down what God is doing in my life so that later I can read it and be reminded. There are so many times I reread it. I'll look over this and I'll be like, wow, I forgot that God did that. I'm so glad that I wrote that down. I'm so glad I can remember that today. So a joyful heart is going to bring you up, but an anxious heart is going to beat you up. And you need to think about which one's in your chest. Because you may think it doesn't affect you on a spiritual level, but it does. An anxious Sunday school teacher will be a poor Sunday school teacher. An anxious worship leader, an anxious pastor are going to be poor worship leaders, poor pastors. you can never do the spiritual apart from the physical. They tie together. And so much of it is based on us making a choice. Look again there, Proverbs 17. It tells us, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Again, this reminder that the physical affects the spiritual. I have seen some of the most physically strong people absolutely crushed by a 5-pound emotion. Crushed. People that could bench lift me, crushed by an emotion. Crushed by this situation at work. Crushed by this child. Crushed by this problem. Crushed by this diagnosis. You've got to realize, even in those situations, you still have a choice for joy. God's calling you to be joyful. He's calling you to have a joyful heart, because otherwise you are going to be crushed. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. You know that worry brings you nothing. Jesus taught us that in Matthew 6. Is worry going to let you live a day longer and make you a foot taller? No. It's not going to do any of those things, so why do we choose it? It comes because we focus on our problems more than we focus on our God. That's why we have to learn how to take time for ourselves. You know what? I was going through that busy week. It was Friday night. It was about, 11:30. And I was thinking of some other things I could do. And I finally said, you know what? At this point, I don't care the rest of the night. I'm done. I'm just going to read. And so that's what I did for a little bit. And I played video games for a little bit. Hey, I'm a kid. I'm just going to tell you. I grew up in a video game generation. So I got to go down and play a little college football sometimes on my PlayStation, and now I'm ready to go. I should probably just put it in my office. Would probably be a good idea. Okay, just see if you're listening. Okay, so I'd probably have a lot more visitors to my office, I would imagine, if I did that. The Bible tells us that we get this crushed spirit. It dries up our bones. It saps the life from us. I want you to know something. The Bible says that dry bones don't bother God. Dry bones are no issue for God. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the Bible tells us that the people of Israel were kicked out of their home. Why? A lot of times because they didn't choose God, let alone joy. And while they're there, Ezekiel gets this message from God. God gives him this vision. I want you to hear what it is. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 3. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. And the valley was full of bones. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, these bones were very dry. And God said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. You know what we need to do more often? We need to start saying, Lord God, you know. You're aware. You're capable. You know what? These people were basically being told that these dry bones were their nation. And God was saying, you see those dry bones? That's your nation. I'm going to bring you back. You don't have a home. You don't have an army. Listen, you don't have a problem, because you have a God who loves you, who cares for you, and who's going to do this on your behalf. Listen, if God has no problem restoring a dry and broken nation, do you think he's going to have a problem restoring you when you get a little dry and broken? Because the Bible says he won't. Why are you having the life sucked out of you? Why do you feel so dry? It's because sometimes we're failing just to choose joy. The Bible says, choose it. If your spirit feels crushed, if you feel like the life is sucked out of you, your hopelessness isn't hopeless. You've been blaming other people. You've been blaming circumstances. And the whole time, you need to blame yourself. I remember being in a deacon's meeting one time. Deacon's meetings are awesome places. And I was in this deacon's meeting one time. And this man, the pastors are laughing. This man said to me, someone was talking about an accusation. He said, you know, when you point a finger, there's always three pointing back at yourself. I said, I know, that's why I point like this. But you know what? Really, it's true. If you've got a problem, guess who you usually need to start with? Yourself. You cannot choose joy if you're blaming your job. And you cannot choose joy if you're blaming your spouse. And you cannot choose joy if you're blaming the amount of money you have in your bank account. You can only choose joy because you realize that there's a payoff and Jesus Christ already gave it to you. And all this stuff, he's got that. That's why I love at the end of Matthew 6 when Jesus is saying, listen, God knows you worry about clothes. He knows you worry about what you're going to eat. He knows you worry about where you're going to live. But listen, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this other stuff, you won't even remember that you ever worried about it. Now, that's the King Heathy version, but that's what it says. We need to choose joy. And listen, it's a choice. So stop blaming the circumstances. Stop blaming the people. Start blaming yourself. And ask yourself that important question. Are you treating yourself or are you beating yourself? The Bible's saying that you can spiritually self-medicate by choosing joy, by making that choice. But listen, it starts with the gospel. Because if your eternity is not settled, your life will never be. Because you're living for stuff, you're living for things that will just fall apart on you. That's why we must be diligent as a church to share the gospel, to remind people that there's a payoff, and without Jesus, they have no payoff coming. If you've never said yes to Jesus, the Bible is saying you're making a mistake. The Bible says that your sin can only be paid for by Jesus. Only through the wonderful cross of Jesus can your sins be forgiven. But I say this to you as a believer. If today you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the question becomes, are you remembering eternity? Are you remembering what he really gave you? And are you living in it? Or are you living two-footed in this world so much that you can't remember the joy of your salvation? You forget what Jesus gave you. The Bible says don't go there. Today I don't know which side of that you are on. But my prayer for you is the same thing that my prayer has been for myself this week. That God would remind me that joy is a choice. Let's go to the Lord.